And downstairs in prayer time, God changed it. So I was cool all week. I thought, all right, I got my sermon done for next week, so I'll just preach it today. Well, things just got changed again. And so I'm just going to share something. Actually, the last revival service, last Saturday night, not yesterday, but last week, I thought I was going to be speaking that night, and I started preparing a message that God gave me, and then it got changed up, and Chris ended up speaking. So I'm supposed to speak this coming Saturday night, and I can't wait. It's not that I can't wait, it's God, just everything that's just been said here. You're actually going to get a preview of what I'm going to talk about next Saturday night. It's probably much the same sermon, but I'm not done with it yet. So there's going to be part two at some point next week. All right. In John 8, 36, Jesus said, "If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." Now, I don't know if you remember a couple years ago, there were two inmates escaped from a state prison in upstate New York. They were free, but they weren't free indeed. They were free from the bars of that prison, but they weren't free indeed because they had about 800 state, federal, and local law enforcement people looking for them. So they were constantly looking over their shoulders. They were hiding out in the woods. They were free, but they weren't free indeed. And I think, well, and if you remember, they were on the lam for about 20 days. They ended up killing one of them, and they wounded the other one and captured him, and he's back in prison. So they were free, but they weren't free indeed. So I think the same thing holds true within the body of Christ. And I think it applies to every one of us. Not just a few of you or a few of us. It's us. We're free, but we're not free indeed. Romans 6, 8, Paul says, "You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." Romans 8, 1 and 2, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." And the law of sin and death is the wages of sin is death. So Paul's saying we've been set free from sin. We've been set free from the law of sin and death. In Colossians chapter 1, he says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." So we've been set free from sin. We've been set free from the law of sin and death. We've been set free from accusations. We've been set free from the punishment of hell. We've been set free from spiritual darkness. We've been set free from the dominion of darkness. So we are free. But we're not free indeed. In John chapter 8, it says, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching,'" get this, "'if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We're Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?'" Now get this. They're leaning on their heritage, that they're Abraham's descendants, and they're like, "We've never been slaves of anyone." How about the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Medes and the Persians, and presently the Romans? They were held captive without even knowing it. See, the problem with being deceived is you're deceived. You might want to write that one down, because that's profound. The problem with being deceived is that you're deceived. You know, the sermons that I preach are as much for me as they are for any of us. And actually, I don't know about you, but I remember a lot of them. Does anybody remember what I preached on January 5th, 2014? See, there's my point. Okay, January 5th was the first Sunday of that new year. And I talked about New Year's resolutions. And I said, New Year's resolutions is basically, I see something about me that I don't like, so I'm just going to stop. So basically, it comes down to our flesh trying to overcome something in our flesh. How long does it last? A day? A week? An hour? Okay? But the scripture that I used, and you've heard me bringing this back up over and over, Hebrews 12, verse 1, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin. I think there's two things being mentioned here. Everything that hinders and the sin. So that tells me that not everything that hinders is necessarily sin. So what are they? Well, in Isaiah 53:4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. The word griefs is translated infirmities in some translations, but it can be physical or it can be of the soul. Okay, think of the sorrows. What's a sorrow? It's an emotion. It's a memory. It's a wound. It's a something that's there. And he bore these things. The passage I read at the beginning for communion, Isaiah 61:1, he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. This isn't talking about your girlfriend dumped you in high school. This is talking about wounds. Jesus is saying the Father sent him to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, and to proclaim liberty for those bound in darkness. Now, I know we can always look at that in the big sense that that's talking about initially coming into salvation. But I think there's more to it than that. This is talking about inner healing. This is talking about the wounds that we carry. And he came to set us free from these things. So he's pointing out the need for inner healing. And these wounds are the lies we believe, the fear we have, the bondage, the shame that many of us believers carry that hinder us from being all that God has intended us to be. We're free, but we're not free indeed. We're free from, you know, the punishment. We're free from hell. We're free from, you know, all of those things. But we're not free indeed because we're carrying these things around. And here's the thing. Generally speaking, we try to hide these things. We don't really want people to know us for what we really are, or what we really think, or what we really feel, or what we really do outside of this place. And so what we do is we keep these things hidden in darkness and never allow them to be brought into the light. I don't even know who this guy is, but John Bradshaw made this comment. You're only as sick as the secrets you keep. We're only as sick as the secrets we keep. Rob Reamer made the statement, we won't be set free until we're more concerned with being good than we are with looking good. Now, if I had the bag, it would be going on about right now. The title of this is Free Indeed, but it could just as well have been Get Real. A few weeks ago, the Lord pointed something out to me. And as I said, I started looking at this and thinking about this and pondering this and meditating and just searching things out about 3 weeks ago. And then this past week, I spent a week in New Jersey at a Soul Care conference, and they just totally reinforced things in that same vein. But about 3 weeks ago, as I was pondering all this, the Lord pointed something out to me. The need for confession. And I think a lot of us, when we think of confession, we think of Roman Catholicism and how weird that whole thing is, and they got it wrong, and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? They're doing it, we're not. They may be doing it wrong, but we ain't doing it at all. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to who? Each other. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You know, I've thought of this passage for many, many years. And I say, okay, Lord, why do you want us to confess our sins to people? Why can't we just confess them to God? Humility. You see, when I confess these things to God, I'm not looking him in the eye. And it's just kind of a secret thing between me and him. Now, I know if you look at this passage in its context, it's talking about physical healing. But I believe it applies to spiritual healing as well. It applies to the healing of our soul. And it's saying, confess your sins to each other so that you may be healed. You see, when we look somebody in the eye and confess, it exposes those things to the light. But we have this tendency to just kind of keep it in the dark. And there's a whole lot of things. And I don't even know that I can list them all. First of all, though, what's the lie you're believing about yourself? How do you see yourself? You know, you heard Diane stand up here today and share how God sees you. How do you see yourself? Rob Reamer, he referred to it as the critic within. You know, and the thing is, how we see ourselves is often based on what we were told about ourselves. You'll never amount to anything. You're a loser. What the hell's the matter with you? I used to hear that all the time. My mother used to say that all the time. But God showed me the wounds that she was living out of. And I'm not going to go into that today. She was an angry person. She was bitter. But when God really showed me this was her experience growing up, I can understand why she was the way she was. But people have told us stuff about ourselves and we believe it. It's that critic within. We judge ourselves. We're not walking around, you know, like, I'm the apple of God's eye. I'm his treasured possession. I'm the pearl of great price. How many of us actually live out of that kind of thinking? Or we compare ourselves to other people. You know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, it's not wise for us to evaluate ourselves according to other people. I've done that. You might have done it. In fact, I've done it quite a bit. For years. People would prophesy over me, oh, you're God's treasured possession. God's so proud of you. You're his son. And in my mind, I'm going, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. About 3 weeks ago, you know, we've been doing this city plan revival stuff, you know, Chris, Patty, and Rick, and Laura, and me, and Dave Balzer, and I'm looking at some of them, some of you. I'm going, I look at Diane during worship, I'm like, I never go into that level of worship. And I'm not yay, 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 like Dulce. And Rick prophesies and sees things, has visions. I've never had a vision. Patty has dreams like every night. And I'm just like, what do? I don't do any of that stuff. See, they notice it. So about 3 weeks ago, they said, hey, we'd like to get together with you. I'm like, okay. So we met up here, church one night. And they're like, you know, how's it going? Okay, my first inclination is to put the bag on. If any of you don't know what the bag is, let me explain that. Because you'll go, what is he talking about? Okay, you remember the Gong Show from years ago? The unknown comic had the bag on his head. Okay, that's where I got the idea. But I still have the same bag. I got a lot of mileage out of this bag, okay? I told Luke, I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to draw a face of a guy on this one side of the bag that's like totally frustrated. And on the other side of the bag, I want you to draw the same guy only like with a fake smile. Okay? So, you know, I always said there's a lot of transformation takes place in church parking lots every Sunday morning. Because you got the bat, you know, you got the look on there. You're frustrated, you're angry, you're this, you're that, you know. So you come into church, but as soon as you see people, you turn the bag around, and you got this fake smile, and they go, how you doing? I'm good. Works better with the bag. You'll have to come next Saturday night to see the bag. I've been using that bag, seriously, for 25 years. It's the same bag. I said, I got a lot of mileage out of that bag. In fact, one time at Trace Diaz, somebody said, are you going to do that bag thing? I said, nah, I didn't bring it with me. Oh, man, you got to do the bag. I'm like, I don't have a bag. Well, somebody had a bag from McDonald's, all right? So we turned it inside out. And it just so happened Luke was there as a candidate that weekend. So I said, I need you to draw the thing. So he does it. So I put this bag on, and all I can smell is French fries. All right? And I'm just like in there hyperventilating. Oh, I'm serious. And I know we laugh about it. But it isn't funny because we come in here in a certain condition, and when somebody asks us how we are, we lie to them. How you doing? Good. No, you're not. No, you're not. So when I met with Patty and Rick, they're saying, how you doing? My first inclination was to put the bag on. Oh, I'm okay. But it was like, no, I'm not okay. No. I'm not staying like this. No. Here's what I am. I look at all of you and I, you know, you prophesy, you do this, you do that, you do that, you do that. I don't do any of that. Rick says, are you trying to tell me you can't preach? I'm like, well, yeah. He said, that's your part. God's told me that 100 times over the last 25 years. But you see what I'm saying? We start looking at other people and we start to ignore what God said. And we just kind of go into this soul thing. And I know there's a lot of you that have low self-worth. Because of what you've been told, because of what you've experienced, because of maybe the same thing I'm talking about. You're looking at other people and going, I don't do any of that. You know, I talked about it about a month ago. God says we're one body with many parts. And all the parts are different. All the parts are different. You know, I said, what if everybody was like me? I'm telling you, if you was like me, I wouldn't even like you. But we just need to understand what our part is and do it. 2 Corinthians 10, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. How many of us are comparing ourselves to someone else? Unforgiveness. Well, you know, I don't really say anything about the person, but I can't stand them. I'll never forget what they did to me. Think that might be a hindrance? Jesus tells that parable about the unmerciful servant. You know, the guy owns the king $1 billion, begs him to forgive him, he lets him go. He goes out, finds a guy that owes him $5, starts beating him, choking him, throws him in prison. They go back and tell the king, hey, you know what that guy did? He calls him in, you wicked servant, wicked. Shouldn't you have done what I did for you? And he says, if we don't forgive, we get turned over. Take your pick. Tormentors, torturers, or jailers. I don't like the sound of any of those. I certainly don't want to be tortured. I don't want to be tormented. And I got thrown in jail a couple times. I didn't like that either. So you see what Jesus is saying? He's saying, if we refuse to forgive, we're not going to have this peace. We're not going to have this contentment. We're not going to have this joy. We're going to be turned over to the tormentors. And I'm telling you, I know people who are living in torment because they refuse to forgive. What about you? Offense. I ain't saying anything, but there's this thing in me. I'm offended. How's that working out for you? To me, offense is pretty much the same as unforgiveness. If I'm taking offense, it's because I'm not willing to forgive that person. Some of us got anger. Oh, we don't see it in here. We see it out there. You know you got it. Confess your sins to one another that you might be healed. fear. This puppy can go all day. Fear. Afraid to drive. Afraid to get up and speak in front of someone. Some of you have heard me say this before. You know, they did a survey here a few years ago, and they discovered that the number one fear amongst the average person is speaking in public. So that means if you're at a funeral, you'd rather be in the casket than give the eulogy. Because the number two fear is death. Fear of my secrets being brought to the light. If they really knew what I do, if they really knew what I think, if they really knew what I say. But here's the thing, if we're going to keep it in darkness, we ain't getting healed. If we're not going to expose it, and here's the thing, God ain't going to expose it. You know, and that's the thing. This is what really gets me. We're praying and asking God to do all this stuff all the time. He said, I'm not doing anything till you take care of business. I'm not doing anything till you do what you need to do. I realized this week I was wrong about something. Me. In fact, I just met with somebody and told him this, and now I got to go back and tell him I was wrong. You know, there's the thing where Peter says, Lord, how many times have we got to forgive somebody that sins against us in a day? Seven? Like Peter's thinking he's real cool. I can do it at least seven times. Jesus says, 70 times 7. Okay, first of all, it's impossible for somebody to sin against you in one day 490 times. So first of all, right off the get-go, he's saying, you know, it's an infinity amount, okay? What do they say to him in response? Increase our faith. See, I used to think they were saying, I need faith to forgive. And I even told people that's what it meant. But Jesus goes right into, he says, let me tell you this. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this tree, be uprooted and be thrown into the ocean. He's saying, it ain't about faith. If you have a faith as small as a mustard seed, faith or forgiveness isn't about faith. It's about obedience. It's not about faith. It's about obedience. We're told, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Yep. It's not a matter of me believing that and having all this faith. It's just do it. Amen. See, this is the thing. We're asking God to do things for us and give us things, and he's saying, you got to take care of business first. Yeah. You know, the classic scripture that's been used forever for revival, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, not if the world, if my people who are called by my name will pray and seek my face and do what? Turn from their wicked ways. Then, if my people, then, if and then, if my people, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Oh God, we need a healing of our land. Oh God, heal our land, heal our land, heal our land. He's gone. Turn from your wicked ways. See, we want him to do all these things that he's telling us we need to do. We keep these things hidden in darkness, and then wonder why we feel yucky. That's a Greek word. Y-U-K-K-I, yucky. Condemnation. God says, therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? Then there's no condemnation. Why do you still have condemnation? About something you did 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, last week. Are we willing to admit, you know what? I got this condemnation on me. Or do I just keep it and actually think it's from God? Let me tell you something. If you're still beating yourself up over something you did, in essence, you're saying what Jesus did didn't work. Oh, I would never say that. Well, you are saying that. And like I said, these are just notes I got. They're all just kind of here and there. We limit our ability to minister by how we see ourselves. Like I said, the critic within. We will never move beyond our self-awareness. Self-awareness is the gateway to either freedom or bondage. It's the gateway to transformation. How do we see ourselves? Is it in line with how God sees us? See, we need to realize that our worth has been settled at the cross. One guy at the conference this week said about a lot of us were wounded in community, meaning by people. But our healing also comes in community. It's confessing our sins. It's exposing the things that we're hiding. And, you know, I was thinking about next Saturday night, thinking, you know, I'm going to say, this isn't one of those things, come up to the altar, come up at the end of the service, get prayed for, and you'll be set free, and you'll live happily ever after, because that ain't what it's about. It's about you going. Here's what you need to do. You need to find someone that you can completely trust. Because, you know, in all honesty, you don't want to go blurting all this stuff out in front of all you. It'd probably be on Facebook this afternoon. You know what the pastor did? We ain't ever going back there. But you need to find someone that you trust completely, your spouse or whoever. You can trust me. I'm telling you. You want to come tell me your dirt? It ain't going any further than right here. Like I said, God's telling us we need to confess our sins to each other to be healed. Who wants to be healed? But I'm telling you, as long as we keep it hidden, we're not going to be healed. There has to be that exposure. I needed Patty and Rick basically to call me on the carpet. And it wasn't done in a nasty way. You know, it wasn't some hostile takeover. It was like, hey, man, what's up? And, you know, I was at the Soul Care Conference this week. I texted both of them, said, I need to ask you something. I want you to be completely honest. What prompted you to want to have that meeting with me? And Patty said she had had this vision, and I'm not going to go into what it was, but it was basically there was something wrong here. And Rick said, well, you know, as long as I've known you, I've never known you to turn down preaching. And we've asked you numerous times to preach at these revival services, and you turned it down. He said, I knew there was something wrong, because I know you. So they cared enough about me to call me to attention. And just what he said made me think back a number of years. Some of you remember, it's probably close to 20 years ago. We had the same kind of thing going on in this area. All these churches were coming together, pastor, you know, Vic Cafeo and John Maines and Mitch Johnson and Greg McDonald. And I mean, it was a whole bunch of us, and we were actually going to fire halls in different communities once a month and doing worship and praying and doing all these things over that community, blessing them and all this. And throughout that, someone said to me one time, you know, I've been watching you in these meetings. And you're not up there wanting to grab the mic, and you're really humble. And I thought, I don't have a clue what's going on. That's why I'm not saying anything. I'm like, I'm clueless. I'm not going to grab the mic. I don't have nothing to say. I figure they know what they're doing. See, people can look at you and think more of yourself than you really are. Obviously, they can look at you and think more or less. Not more or less, just less. Maybe for some of us, it is more or less. But, you know, the bottom line is, are we willing to get real and get these things out to be totally set free? You know, they talked about a lifetime confession. Have you ever done a lifetime confession? To where there's absolutely nothing hidden in darkness. There's nothing about your life that you're still kind of, I don't want anybody to know about that. Because if we are like that, that area is not getting healed. And really, if you think about it, it's a fear. It's fear-based. I don't want you to know, because what will you think of me? And really, isn't that a pride issue? So I got a whole lot more to say next Saturday night, and you're just going to have to come and find out. But that's enough for today. Let's stand up.